Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Tone, I'm so happy with you right now.
Really?
Yeah, and I need to work on, in general, not just in parenting where it's kind of obvious, but in general, I need to work on positive reinforcement. So I'm typically furious with you when you tell me a time that's not a real time. Where you're like, yeah, I'll be there at 9:15 when you know good and well that isn't going to happen. Right. You know when you say it, 9:15 means 9:45 for you, and then you know at 9:45 I get a text that says you're 2 minutes away, but it's really like another 10. and it just drives me nuts because I don't mind the delays as much as I mind the bad information. And this is an issue similarly with my wife, where she's kind of time blind, whereas I'm very conscientious of time. I know exactly how long it takes to get places. I factor in that you have to park. I factor in there might be traffic. I factor in that you have to walk in. Like you can't just show up. You can't say, oh, this starts in 10 minutes. I'm going to leave, you know, 10 minutes. I'm going to get there right when it starts. But today, you said when you rescheduled for 9:15 on Wednesday night, I was very, very skeptical. And there you were, 9:15, ready, just like you said. So I'm very pleased with you today.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That could have been just by chance.
No, this was a good job.
Honestly, I was thinking it was going to end up being like 9:30. When you hit a 9:15, I'm like, that seems like a 9:30-ish to me. When you like,
yeah, because he was saying it was going to be after dinner, and I'm like, is this guy really going to be thinking while he's at dinner, hey, I got to get home to do this side job that I don't really typically care about?
And I could have had a few, you know. So that
could have had a few what? A few glizzies,
a few beers,
a few Sprechers or A&Ws.
Yeah, I did have a root beer, thank you, but only had one. So, you know, I was able to drive home.
You're safe to drive, good.
Yeah. And get here on time. So, ready to go, ready to work. You understand me?
When I was at the store the other day, I was like, I saw the little four-pack of Sprecher's root beer. And Ken, I'm sure you know, Tony famously does not drink. And I thought, oh, I should pick him up this case of good, because that's the good root beer. That's better than Barks.
That's a solid
Sprecher's root beer. Is a level up. It's like, I should get him this because he's got his daughter's baby dedication coming up. I should get him this like the way I would get a bottle of wine for, you know, one of my other friends. And I was like, no, that's stupid. I'm not playing into this.
Why? That would have been an excellent gift.
I'm not playing into this. Why does he have to consume alcohol? Why
he doesn't have to.
The same consideration be given. Hey, I would buy my friend alcohol. My friend doesn't drink. Let me give him high quality root beer.
Yeah, I guess you've got a good point. I like root beer too, but he likes it. He likes it too much. I don't know anybody that likes root beer like he does.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that's like that into it.
How
something
is it any
odd happens to you, Tony, and it's of course nothing like this will ever come out, but the root beer will always be one of the reasons. But he did like that root beer. Yeah, he was crazy about that root beer.
That'll be the, like, you know, Channel 7. Dion Miller will be out interviewing people about why Tony did this bizarre thing that he's gotten in trouble for. And everyone will be like, he was a pretty normal guy, except for this one thing about the root beer. Mm-hmm. Like, he would not chill about the root beer. It was just, he just had to get more of it at all times.
I am obsessive. And, you know, if I have a bad root beer, I will make it known. Like, hey, your root beer is bad. Like, it's terrible. Get that out of here. I'm very, very a connoisseur. I would say, like, Ken knows his liquor. I respect Ken knows specifics and details and all those things. He's the alcohol connoisseur. Like, if I have a question, he will be the guy that I think I will go
you
to.
You make him sound like he's the town drunk when you say that, though. That's one of the things about
just Barney'd me. You just Barney'd me.
Really?
Just Barney.
Well, not on purpose. No, you didn't do it on purpose. This is one of my frustrations, is you can't really ever talk about wine or beer or drinking in general without sounding like you're an alcoholic. Like, if I say right now, Ken, like, I've been drinking less lately, well, that makes it sound like I was out of control before. When I've gone from moderate to just, like, even less, like, paring it down even more.
I'm with you. There's
no good way to say it.
I've been paring back, and it's funny when you say this. So I've said it at work. And I think sometimes when I leave, I'm like, these people must really think, man, he must have been drinking.
Yeah. There's this part of the open when I go on the score where they use this clip where I was talking about how my dad always has weird and gross, like, cheap beer in his fridge. And it's never anything that I want. If they play it, it's like part of my thing every week. And now it's like, well, he must be one of those.
Yeah, clearly your dad got cheap beer. Like, that's a problem.
Ken, you're a father of two. Do I have that right? Yes.
Correct.
And your kid, you have a son who is a teenager?
He's 15.
And a daughter who's younger, I want to say.
Yep, she's 7 going on 8. She turns 8 some days after me. I won't be specific because people are weird.
I love all of the conversations that we've had with you over the episodes you've been on about parenting. And with the topic that I was getting on Tony about, because a lot of times Tony is one of my best friends, but a lot of times it does feel a little like parenting. Less so since he's gotten married. Less so since he has taken that full-on step into adulthood as a husband and father. But how do you do, Ken, with positive reinforcement? Because I bet, like me, you're great at the negative reinforcement, at getting on them when they're doing stupid things, which, like, is my kid's middle name, doing stupid things. But how are you at pointing out the positives? Because my kids will always say, well, Dad, you're always mad when we don't do this, but you never give us credit. You're like, oh, you guys, good job. You didn't lie to me today or something.
I think I look at a lot of times in life that I can do things better. I'm never fully satisfied. I'm like, yeah, I'm great at that. I think I do a good job. I'm with you, though. I do lean in with the negative at times. But one thing I try not to do, and I'll get to the positive side, sometimes I just shut up. Because nobody needs you grinding their gears 24/7, particularly if you think you're doing a good job raising that kid. Sometimes it's like, you know what, Kenneth? Every day is not going to be the war. You know, like, we're not going to do it every day because, one, this place is a safe place for them. And if I'm me and I have to play more of the part of the heavy, it's seeming like a tyrant. How can you be comfortable while at home? Now, to the positive side, I make it a point. My kids, it was funny. We asked our daughter yesterday, we was like, how's the feel upstairs in the bedroom, right? Because we didn't want to really turn the air conditioning on. Come on, we all know money's tight in these streets. So,
hey, Tone, you'll be there soon, man. That is absolutely like cheap dad wheelhouse. That is a stereotype about us cheap dads, but it is a true stereotype.
Yes. And right now, the weather is still quite pleasant enough, even though it's been
that free month, Ken.
Yep.
You get two. You get one on the front end of summer, one on the back end of summer.
On the back.
You don't have to run the heat. You don't have to run the air. That is cheap dad month.
Dude, I look at the weather, the 10-day layout, and when I see 77, I was like, worry about that air. Don't have to worry about that air. But we asked her, and she was like, it's humid. And it was so funny because that's not what Afton wanted to hear. And you can see how she's developing. She's taking another step. So it's cool. So I definitely try to let them know when they do something smart or witty, or just to, like, because I would want that, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I think it's a good balancing act, Jason, because sometimes it's like, am I too hard on my kids? Like, I'm like, all right, am I too hard on them? How are they going to view me in the future? But the amount of love that they give me, it's I don't ask for it. They just want, and it's like, okay, I think I am doing things right, but I do see my missteps sometimes where it's like, okay, is this a reaction? Is this also because I was raised in this way that I react in a way? And some of the things that I know how I was raised, I don't think I want my kids to do that with their children. So I try to be pretty cognizant of that. But I'm a human being, so I'm flawed, and I just try to keep attempting to be better.
Even what you just said, I feel like I had good parents growing up, and my parents are still very good to me. There's no way our parents sat around having conversations like that. Mm-hmm. There's no way our parents put that kind of thought into it, like is kind of expected of us now. And it's not to blame them. It's just culturally things are different in this generation.
Yeah, it's funny. I changed my algorithm, and it took me like a month and a half to 2 months, right? I just started unfollowing celebrities, models, and just BS. I still have some BS in there and some models, but a lot of my stuff is a lot of food, a lot of tech, information, a lot of black stuff. Just that's really where a lot of my stuff is at. And because I unfollowed a lot of people, I started getting a lot of parenting stuff. And this goes to the point that you were just trying to make. With social media and the kind of discussions that we can have nowadays, it allows us to have a space where we can be like, yo, I'm wrong. It's hard. It's back in the days a lot of times. And I think if you talk to people that are older than us, it's hard for them to kind of admit that they're wrong. And at times, and that's not a blanket statement for everyone, but also to have the type of sincerity that I think a lot of us would want them to have because of the life that they grew up in. And that's one thing that I really try to think about with my elders. How were they raised? Don't just be so hard-handed to be like, why are you like this? Look at like, just, and it's not even a knock, but like my mother's father died when she was like 5 or 6 years old, right? Mm-hmm. She had like 5 siblings ahead of her, like 3 siblings behind her, and she was an identical twin. That affects you in ways that you don't really know. And that was a time back in the days, my mother was born in the 60s, that there's no one counseling you as much through these types of things and providing what you really need, because nobody kind of knows, and it's nobody there to really give it to you. So I try to think about that a lot with how I'm parenting, because I want to be a better parent, but I come from sometimes a hostile environment, and I don't put that on my kids, but still my reactions can be extremely, I won't say passionate because that kind of makes it seem like it's a good thing, but just and it's like, yo, that's not that, just pull that back sometimes. Not to say sometimes they don't need it, like they kids, especially kids nowadays, they need some sternness, all right? Like that's just facts. And I always think, like for me, and I think I may have said it on here before, my dad's voice used to be my conscience until I was like in my 20s. Like that's the voice that I would hear, like, hey, something. And then it became my voice, right? So that's what, with my kids again, I want this to become where that my son today, while we're having, so my son came down here to have a discussion about, he was like, hey, I need to talk to somebody, right? I'm like, oh, here we go, right?
No, that's great, like, though. It's great that the person he wanted to talk to about something is you.
It is, but one, I'm flawed, but I know I try to analyze myself and human beings' thought processes, right? So he wanted to know, should he talk to an ex-girlfriend of his because he had seen her pop up on gaming things, and he's like, I thought I disconnected from her, but she's popping up here, she's popping up there, she's gaming, and I kind of just want to talk to her a little bit. And he has a new girlfriend, right? So I said, all right, first of all, I'm not going to solve this problem for you. This is on you, because one, I told you, I don't know how serious your kids should be. You know, like I know I was pretty serious when I was a teenager, and I sometimes feel like some of like my main girlfriend, I think her parents may at one point told her like, yeah, you need to spread out and date. And I kind of wish someone had talked to me like that. I worry about kids wanting to be married in high school, where it's just like, yo. And I told him, the young lady, like, listen, just make sure y'all are still friends regardless of whatever takes place, because that's more important. But he wanted to come down and said he kind of wanted to reach out to his former girl. So I said, wait. So how are things going on with you and this lady now? Because I kind of want to ask him that, but sometimes I just want to stay out of it because I don't want to seem like it's something where it's like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Because it's like,
I know.
As long as it's nothing bad and he can come to me. So he said, no, you know, things with her are going great and all of this. So the former doesn't live in the state any longer. And I was like, okay, so at first it's going to be you're kind of talking. Then she's going to be like, yo, I'm coming back to, you know, Illinois, I'm coming back to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then I said, then isn't the other girl going to see if y'all, because I was like, y'all going to end up playing games with him? He's like, yeah. So I asked him then, I was like, well, does she talk to her exes? And he's like, no. And I was like, is this going to cause a problem? Right. And he was like, yes. So I was like, all right, I'm just laying it all out for you because I come from a different time. And it's funny, I thought about it after I talked to him. The times are still the same, but I feel like there's less pressure on him to engage in sex, to be honest, than it was when I was a kid. Right. Mm. And I'll be frank because he's not around, but I'll be frank. I feel, but we'll have this discussion. Like he asked me like 7 months ago, like, yo, so when did you start? And I'm like, yo, don't worry about that. Do what your mom did. No, you're going to be better than me. Don't worry about what I did.
You know, go ahead. A couple of things. Like I was just going to think about just how weird it is when you realize you are doing the thing that you didn't necessarily want to do because like it's what your parents did and then it comes out and you're like, whoa, or the thought and you're like, whoa, like you have this kind of like cognitive dissonance with what's happening because it's like, whoa, this is something that I was trying to avoid. And then boom, right. There it comes out like automatically. But I think that's nice. That's cool that, you know, he wants to have those conversations, you know, with you. And that's just shouts to you and Afton's parentage that your kids are comfortable enough to talk about anything and everything.
I completely agree with him and salute that, Ken. Like that is that right there is a success. That is a parenting success on your part and your wife's part that your son wants to talk to you about things like that rather than hide it. Talk to his friends about it. Like that's really great.
I think one of the things, first of all, Tony, he said it's weird hearing me and you talk about you having a kid. He said that from being in the studio. He was like, it's weird. You and Tony talk about father. And I was like, I guess I can see that, how young you were when you first met Tony. I think one of the things that we always imparted to him is, listen, we're here for you. Like push comes to shove. We may not agree with it, but no, if the shit hits the fan, we're here. Like, yo, forget it. I'm not going to. Sometimes I may need a minute to breathe. Listen, let me tell you some shit from yesterday. I shouldn't say this because there's other parents there and I don't know if they're going to see this. And I shouldn't be putting my business out. But I feel like when you do things like this, this is part of what you're supposed to do.
Our policy here is let it fly and edit later if necessary.
It won't be an edit. Let it fly. Just let it fly. So he had a banquet yesterday, right? And I really wasn't in the mood because we had went to a banquet already. And if I'd known it was going to be two, I would have went to this banquet. Right?
It's not a knock for a banquet.
It wasn't. I wasn't. So, you know, I think with anybody, sometimes where you do anything and it's front facing and or just me having some introvert qualities, I need time off. I can't be on all the time. I need space for myself to decompress and stuff like that. So anyway, we go and I'm sitting here expecting, all right, I know my son, I know he got some bees, whatever. I know he's going to stand up. They're like, yeah, anybody with anything above a C, I'm like, all right, the A kids went. My son didn't stand. I was hot, right? I was hot. I text his ass right away, right? Like, what in the world? Something. I had to get on myself because I tell him, like, I pay for this, right? Like, yo, brother. Like, and again, he does well. The problem is he's my child, so he has my flaws. So when he's going well, he coasts instead of running through the tape. Like he doesn't run through the tape. So it's like, yo, when you know your grades are going well, he starts to coast. And I could tell just by talking to him, it's like, you haven't been really focusing and spending as much time. So I see it coming. Like, yo, are you going to finish? I'm telling him, like, don't bring me a bunch of B's on your. So listen to me complaining, and he's an A and B student. He's really good. He's way better. Right. He's way better than I was.
College material right there.
Yes, but still, it's like, let's go harder, because at one point, your mom's not going to be able to help you. I'm not going to be able to help you. This is training you to do this on your own. So it was funny. So I text him and I told him my complaint. He was like, I got you. I'm going to lock in harder. And usually I couldn't really say anything else, because one, we're at an event for him and I'm getting on his butt, right? So mom didn't say anything, but I'm sure she's probably not happy with me. And then in the car ride home, I don't say anything. But then at night, I text him and I tell him I love him, and he comes to give me the good night hug. And I can tell how long he hugged me. And I think it's stuff like that where it's like, yeah, I'm mad at you, but that doesn't change anything. And this is announced. I get off this soapbox. My dad told me once, he said, regardless if we get into it or not, you're still my son. And they spoke volumes, because I think, I don't know if we got into a big argument before or after that, one of the biggest arguments that he and I ever gotten into. And I was disrespectful towards him, right? And my dad was okay with me within that day or next day. And then I knew he really meant what he said. And I wasn't a person to get disrespectful with my dad like that. So I wasn't one of those kids, but it was just, this was like the last big argument me and my father ever got into, actually thinking about it. The last time we didn't fight often, right? This was the last big one. But I remember thinking that, and that was something that I used to tell my younger brother, and I tell the rest of my niece and I'm here. So that's, make a long story short, that's kind of how I think it happens, guys. But I mean, it's a lot of trial and error. Also, last part, it's on the kids too, because you could just have a kid doesn't want to listen to shit.
And I say that all the time, man. You do not control them.
Yep.
No matter how good a job you do, how much you care, you do not control them. You can do everything right, and it's still not in your hands. I love everything that you just said about parenting, and I kept wanting to grab my pen and take some notes on some of the things you said, because I felt like it was really wise. Tone thinks he knows everything about parenting from having a 6-month-old, but there's a long way to go, Tone. There is one of the things I thought of while you were talking just now, Ken, is there are few things that will anger you as a parent and frustrate you as a parent more than seeing the things you don't like about yourself, your flaws, come out in them. And you will react. So you will get extra mad about those things. And it's kind of like living vicariously, like people that were failed athletes, which is almost everyone in the world. Yep. And they want to live through their kids' Division III college baseball career or travel baseball team or travel volleyball team or whatever. It's kind of that way in the sense of you want to see them be a good person. You want to see your kid not have your flaws and do everything right and be perfect, because then that validates you. But the things that anger me the most about my kids are the things where they're reflecting a flaw that I don't like about myself.
That's really the key, right?
That is like the deepest cut.
That is, and then I have to talk to myself about, because some of these are still flaws that I have, right? And yes, I have to be like, wait, yes. I was like, you need to, if we're going to do this, let's dial this more up on your side and turn this down some on them, because maybe I'm not doing well enough by leading by example. You know, like maybe, like that's one thing too, when I thought about him, like I just said, it's a flaw of mine. So I'm like, I need to show him even better dedication and I need to grow harder, just because he'll think that I would hope he would think that that's more of the way that he should go. But Jason, that right there is because I'm talking to little Kenneth, basically, right? I'm speaking to a younger me trying to tell myself, like, come on, do it.
And you're trying to get your do-over.
Right, exactly. But that's also, I think, sometimes the reason why I have to tell myself to dial it back. Like, yo, because also, like, they're good kids. They weren't in some of the troubles that I was around. I could leave a house at 10:30, and I didn't have to be in the house, depending on what parent I was staying with, and this could apply to both of them, to 12:30 or 1.
And I was been the biggest gang member the city has ever known.
Talking about, this is great. This is before, like, this is early where that I was outside. Like, it gets out to a point where there were years in high school I wasn't outside for like my first 2 years. One, because it just sucks being a freshman, but I wasn't outside because I was outside when I was a little kid. Like, I was outside, right? And so I'm like, they're not in that. I don't let people watch my kids like that, so I don't have to necessarily worry about anyone doing anything inappropriate to them. Mm. So it's like, some of it's like, okay, fears of my life, but also, yo, this isn't the same setup. And you've already, and this is one thing with my younger brother, I did a lot. My young brother, he passed some years back. I don't do death anniversaries. My mother's kind of mad at me because I didn't pull up for the death anniversary. And I don't mean to disrespect anything. It's just, I deal with his death all the time. So it's not something that I just want to pull up and do something. There's a lot of other shit with that. Anyway. Yeah. But still, with him, it was kind of the same way, where it's just like, yo, I'm here, you know, whatever, whatever. And I think, again, that's what matters the most, as far as they're safe, they're doing well. Keep doing what you're doing, but don't make their life too strenuous because you got shit going on with you.
I got a question for both of you guys.
So true.
So how do you guys deal, because again, you mentioned, Ken, we're all human beings and we're still growing even as adults.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment that you know that you kind of either disappointed or misstep or failed in front of them, and you know that they may remember it or it's going to impact them, you know, long term, how do you get yourself together to continue to parent, to continue to keep going, knowing that I probably shouldn't have done that. That's probably going to stick with them for a long time, maybe even forever. How do you get past that and continue to be a quality parent, even though you know that, man, my misstep, the thing that I messed up on, they're either disappointed by, or it could have hurt them?
Honesty. You tell them, listen, I was wrong. I apologize. This is either what I thought. Maybe this is what I went through. But a lot of it, like, there's been times where my kids didn't do something and I thought they did something, and I was angry about it. And the best part is always having kids that are willing to forgive you because you're their dad. Mm-hmm. So they want to kind of have it where it's like, kids want their parents to be perfect. Like, even if they're not, they still like the ideal of that they have good parents. But honesty, just being like, listen, I'm sorry, I messed up. This isn't what I meant, or this is what happened. And like, in that way, just talking, like, talk to your kids, man. Like, you know, talk to your kids is best. What Jason was saying earlier, if you don't want someone else talking to them and giving them what they believe is key information, you need to let them know you're receptive and open to having an open dialogue with them, even if it's maybe something that you don't want to necessarily hear. Or if you did something bad, you want your kid to be able to come to you. And I just think about, again, like my dad, there were times where I had bad grades and I remember how ashamed I was, you know, of having bad grades and how I wanted to please him and make him happy. And he wasn't even saying anything anymore to me or whatever. But I think it's another reason why I text my son. I was going to, of course, I wanted him to know, one, and I know he would have come downstairs anyway, but it's okay. Come to me or whatever. But I had a good dad. You know, my dad had flaws too, but I had a good dad and that helped a lot.
I think this is one of those areas in parenting that I've been, and in my life, I've been trying to work on, is I've been talking about this in counseling. Actually, I feel like we're doing a counseling session here. I am great at being completely in control of everything or just checking out completely and I don't care. What takes more effort and finesse than both of those is like working in the gray area. And this is something that's new with this generation of parents, with us, Ken, what you're talking about accountability for your missteps, the times you get it wrong and the times that you hurt them. And there is no hard and fast rule book for that. tone. Like, you really have to be able to work in the gray on that, because one of the reasons our parents would, I'm not talking about my parents specifically, I'm talking about parents at large. Let's say in the 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s, that previous generation, like, one of the reasons they wouldn't have admitted they were wrong is, I mean, pride is a factor, but also, like, you open yourself up to you breaking the respect dynamic, breaking the power structure. And so, like, my kids are very good kids, in my opinion, like, very, very well behaved, not doing the wrong things for the most part. They're 13 and 10, my daughters. They do say things that are disrespectful sometimes. Not, it's not a frequent problem, but they do say stuff that I would have never dreamed to say to my parents. And I don't, my parents were not like tyrannical or anything, but part of it is because you open the door to that by being honest about times you get it wrong. You show them, hey, I'm not a perfect person. So it kind of opens yourself up to criticism from them, which at times will be fair. And at times will, whether it's fair or not, come out disrespectfully. But I think that the biggest thing is essentially what Ken said, is that repair. You've got to repair it. You got to do the same thing you're teaching them to do about their actions and be accountable. You have to own the mistake and you have to repair it, because I think that's where so much damage happened in past generations in the parenting relationship, is the parents don't ever make it right with you. And so you don't ever feel like you get that validation or that acknowledgement of, like, hey, that felt so unfair to me, but they're not telling me it's unfair. And they're the parent, and they're, like Ken said, I think perfect. I idealize them. They have all the power. So, man, it must be me that's doing all the, that's, I must be wrong. And I think it helps in your relationship with anyone, whether it's a coworker, a friend, or your kids, to affirm for that other person that their feelings about the thing you did wrong are right. Like, if that felt messed up to you, you were right, because that was messed up by me. I was impatient. I was prideful. I was just on top of you too much about something.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
It's good advice. Solid advice. I'll keep that.
Let's start the show, and then I have a few more. I have a couple more parenting questions I actually want to ask you, Ken. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure. My guest co-host today is Ken Davis from NBC Sports Chicago, and I guess. And we've got Tony Gill, our producer, also from NBC Sports Chicago, maybe. And we're very glad to have you guys. Russ is out. I think he's at a wedding or something. But Russ will be back next week, I'm sure. Sports Adjacent is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. You can go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA and take advantage of sales they're having all summer, the month of June. You have time right now to do this for Father's Day if you're listening to this, because we're in early June. What day does this episode come out, Tone? June 7th, I think. Friday, June 7th. More than enough time when you're hearing this on June 7th or maybe Thursday night, because real ones know these come out maybe 11 o'clock the night before, actually. That's one of Tony's little insider secrets. You can get your dad some Sheets and Giggles, and my dad has some and loves them. Take advantage of the sales they've got going already at sheetsgiggles.com/SA. But if you use that link, you also get an extra discount applied in your cart at checkout for being one of our listeners. Sports Jason is also brought to you by BetMGM. Oh man, I want to tell you, Tone, I slept on some non-Sheets and Giggles the other day and paid for it. I'll explain. Sports Jason is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app and get this offer with our promo code Adjacent1000. Your first bet with BetMGM gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500 if you don't win. Just use promo code Adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Tone, the other day... I'm trying to get in a better habit, Ken, of washing my bed sheets regularly. Again, you can't talk about stuff like this without making yourself sound like you're some filthy trash person.
I've been thinking the same thing, and I'm like, just, he said it.
I was doing okay. It's not like I had rats in my bed or bed bugs or something.
I mean, if you have a healthy relationship, you know, you got to change. You got to swap those out.
Thanks, Tone. I am trying to be more consistent about it. Like, I put it into my calendar of, like, okay, mm-hmm. every Sunday you know, strip the bed, throw the sheets in the wash. So I did that, and I have two sets of Sheets and Giggles, the sheet set, the 100% eucalyptus, silky smooth, perfect for summertime, really perfect for summertime. If you're someone that is a cheap dad and doesn't like to run the air conditioning, if you don't have to, these sheets keep you cool. And I stripped the bed, went and put the sheets in the washer, and then went to grab my other set of Sheets and Giggles sheets, Tone, and the kids had been using it as some for some kind of fort. So those were dirty too. And they'd been on the floor. They'd been like where the dog hair and the crumbs and everything is. So I got those are it. I have one other set of Sheets and Giggles that's flannel, but I'm not putting the flannel on in the summer.
Can't do
Sheets and Giggles wouldn't even tell you to do that. That's too crazy. So I put on, I'm surprised we even had this. I put on these just regular sheets that were probably from Target or something. And man, was that a serious reminder of why you need Sheets and Giggles. I felt a little bougie. I felt like I've kind of lost touch with the common man in that I cannot sleep on regular sheets now without complaining about it.
As you should.
I mean, you spend more time in hotels now because of your job than Ashley would. So you probably had an easier time than she would have because she's so used to the Sheets and Giggles. But
yes,
you're saying that had a problem with it, even though you take multiple trips, like because of your job and travel.
It was
because of the Bears.
It was terrible.
It was still terrible. Wow.
Yeah, it was bad.
Awful for Ashley.
Because she knows nothing else. Yes, you're right.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ken, I wanted to ask you about a lighter parenting thing, probably, you know, less philosophical, although knowing you, you might take it that way. You're a deep thinker about parenting. I wanted to know if there are things, you said you have a 15-year-old son and your daughter is how old again?
Seven.
Okay. So this is probably more a thing with your son because your daughter's probably too young to care about some of this stuff. I'm curious because my kids are 10 and 13, so they're getting into some of this. Oh, this is what's popular. Oh, this is what's trendy. What stuff does your son, what is popular that your son latches onto as trendy and cool? Not like that just if you find funny, not like it's harmful, not like he's decided, doing cocaine is fun and popular or something like that. Like my daughters, for example, and their friend group are obsessed with these Stanley mugs, which Stanley mugs are what people took to work, you know, in the 40s,
right,
to keep their coffee hot. And it's basically a water bottle. It's a $45 water bottle. And when you're 10 or 13, $45 is like $1,000. Yeah. So seeing my kids save up and spend $45 on a water bottle when I can't even get them to drink water regularly anyway, it's the, by the way, the thing that keeps you alive. Like, you shouldn't even need to be told to drink it. That just puzzles me that that is a popular, trendy thing. Also, these just plain white cotton Nike socks, which I had a drawer full of them because they're just socks. They're just basically generic athletic socks. And now my kids wanted me to buy them a pack of it because apparently you got your Stanley mug and you got your white Nike socks and some Crocs. And now you're one of the cool kids. So what stuff like that, what stuff,
you just touched
what stuff
on
like
it.
That do you see just, as a kid where you're just like, how is this cool?
All right. So this is the thing. And it one, and they both come, they're both footwear for this. It's Crocs. So first of all, he got his Crocs stolen, right?
What? Crocs out here? Like it's a pair of Jordans? Right. What are you talking about? Jordans? He got his Crocs stolen.
His auntie bought them for him.
Ken, what? If you got me some knockoff Crocs at Walmart and set them next to some real Crocs, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
I'm with you. Listen, no, I didn't even know. I didn't even know you could put them in sport
people
mode.
People are stealing Crocs mode.
Yeah, you when the strap is up
back
on the back of your heel, that's called sport mode.
Yeah. Yo, I'm washed. I am
taking
so
the restrictor
washed.
Plate off. They're not exactly street exactly. legal.
Yo, I am so washed.
Take off the governor. Look. So he had on, and it is supplies too. So this was like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. He has these stupid slides, as these black slides that the face looks like a shark or whatever, right? And I see the kids coming. I see the kids just not forget at school, but on the streets. And I see him in slides. And me and his mom hate it. But also, we grew up in a different era. So one of the main reasons was like, what if something happens and you got on slides? Like, do you have to run? Like, see, this is how these kids didn't grow up the way that we grew up. Like, what if you have to hightail it up out of there and you have no traction? You have no traction whatsoever. So I said,
what do you mean, Dad? You mean if I can't log on to the Wi-Fi on my phone and I have to run to somewhere that has Wi-Fi to check Instagram?
Dude, I said, what do you mean? If someone's trying to, what if you get into a fight? And I knew he was going to say that I'm happy partially. He said, but Dad, I'm not going to fight. And then my son isn't some little wimp. If you push him, even if he thinks the person's bigger than him, he's going to stand up for himself. But that's neither here nor there. I said, but son, what if they want to fight you? Right? Like, you can say that all you want, that, you know, you're Gandhi in this bad boy or whoever pacifist you want to use for this example. But Martin Luther King, but still, what if they want to do you harm?
Okay, throw hands, bro.
And you have on slides that hinder you from escaping, or slides that hinder you from delivering blows, or just locking up, right? Just like I was putting him through some exercises with just like getting someone off of him earlier this week, because I'm like, he's coming in like we're about to wear the rest of him. I said, no, you're trying to pop, like just
you're not Detroit urban survival training at your house. Are you?
I'm way better than that. This is facts and stuff that I'm bringing in. But that's it for you, Jason. It's the footwear and the fact that kids want to wear house shoes outside as they do. Like myself,
I ain't going for it.
Yeah, I know, but you get attached to these kids in a way, as far as your generation, y'all fashion stuff kind of it goes on to them. Just like
you're
how y'all
wear
hoodies.
An eccentric artist too.
Right. You the hoodies in the summertime where it's just like, dude, it's 80 some degrees, yo.
Yes.
Like this doesn't make sense for
also,
you.
Also, my daughters when they want to buy a hoodie, they buy it in like adult double XL. They're enormous. They just look like a giant pile of laundry walking around.
And then it's some of the like influencers and clothing. So like, was it Kai Cenat? I forget who this, not Kai. Some little dude that he used to buy his clothes, some video. Did either one of y'all see Five Nights at Freddy?
No.
Okay, no. That's
where they go to like a Chuck E. Cheese gone bad or something. Right,
right. So
I saw the Nicolas Cage version movie.
Yeah, that looked funny, whatever that was. Yeah, that was like even more gory and evil.
So the influencer I'm talking about, he's in the movie, but he was big because he would be one of those people that's playing the game. Like, so when Kenton was young is when I first started noticing, like, why are you watching people play video games, right?
Yes.
This was one of the main people that he was
watching.
Another
thing that shocks me. The worst thing about video games when I was a kid was when you couldn't play because there's too many people and you got to watch and wait for your turn. It's horrible.
I do that sometimes.
You watch people play video games?
Nah, dude. Yeah. I was good. Weird. I was, you know, when it got to the point where someone had to beat the game, I usually was him. So I was not on the sideline and I care not to watch. Okay. Someone, right. Only time I will watch someone do something on the game is if I can't get past the level and I'm like, forget it, let me see what someone did to get back. Outside of that, I'm not watching you play a video game. What the hell I look like?
It's the commentary. It's the commentary. And if they're playing other people, it's the trash talk. Some of it's hilarious.
How could that be interesting?
Yeah, no. See, that's why I don't play games with kids. Because no little kid's gonna curse me out and I can't put my hands on them. Not saying I would, everybody, just for legal purposes.
But yeah, stay away from what's that video game that Fortnite? Like, stay out of those chat. If you are older and an adult and you haven't been there and you want to try that, just play the game on your own. Don't enter, like, especially if you're black. They're gonna call you all kinds of N-words. Like, wow, it's
really
wild.
Mm-mm. Yes,
I can't do Fortnite.
Fortnite.
Jeez, I don't even know what Fortnite is. I hear neighbor kids talk about it and stuff, but I don't actually know what it is, other than it's some kind of video game.
It's like Mario. It's like Mario now, as far as the accessibility. Where, for instance, I was a kid. Like, if I had a young lady come over and I put Mario on, they would play Mario. So Fortnite is kind of the basic, like Fortnite and Roblox. Are those games where anybody can kind of get into it? They're like that type of feeder type of game.
Until we try and we just look confused, like, what the heck is
going on? Nah, I'm good off the Fortnite. I do think I may get into like some Siege and like the Rainbow stuff, particularly when he's getting closer to going away to school, so that we can have a connection in some of that stuff. So I've been thinking, like, you know what, I'm gonna do that just so we can still be connected. But like, he knows, and he'd be like, Dad, you can just mute him, because I'm like, no little kid's gonna be cursing at me. I just don't play those type of games.
Ken does not understand the world that he's walking into. No, I'm not gonna be talked to like this from children. Like,
You could turn it off where I don't have to hear what you have to say. So me personally, I just don't. I very rarely have done it, but I don't interact because I know I would become triggered. And first of all, I shouldn't allow some child to trigger me.
Right.
And, you know, so that's one thing. But
some child again, you don't even know.
Right. But that's why I want the IP address, because I want them to know I can get you at any moment.
Tone, on the flip side of this conversation, because you're not in this arena yet, like with a 6-month-old, she's not, you know, spitting up down the front of her onesie because it's trendy and you're like, I don't get it. What stuff did you do or did you have to have or were into when you were a kid that you know your parents thought was stupid? I can tell you, for me, growing up as a kid, pretty much in the 90s, and Ken, I'm sure you remember this, NSYNC was huge at the time. NSYNC was they're what Taylor Swift is right now. They were dominant. They were extremely popular. And Justin Timberlake had those highlights, those blonde highlights. And that was very popular among the whites. Yes. And I had that. And my mom was very, like, oh yeah, that's cool. My dad hated that.
He should have.
You will have a hard time finding pictures from my childhood in my dad's house with that hair. What was it for you, Tom?
So I grew up in the aughts, so that was my childhood, and what was popular in the aughts was obviously Jordan's shoes, right? After a while, my parents stopped buying them for us, but the more odd thing, the two odd things, ankle socks and rubber bands on the pants.
Ooh, I don't know about that. What do you mean rubber bands?
That Ken, Ken remembers. That? Ken definitely.
I wasn't one of them, but it was a thing. But I never did it. Yeah. That was wild for me.
It was ankle socks, and you put rubber bands on your jeans or your pants to kind of, which was the easiest next phase of fashion. Like, no, people wanted the baggy look, but they didn't want it like over their shoes because you want to show off the sneakers.
Okay. So rubber band at the
top. You will put rubber bands at the base or like tie it around like the tongue of the shoes, and like there were different ways to do it. Mostly, you know, also drug dealers did that to, you know, hide the drugs and to make it easy. So, you know, when they got checked by the police, you know, they really wouldn't find it. But other than that, it was a fashion thing that, you know, you put the rubber bands at the base of your jeans and your pants, and now they got, like, I got on these pants now where it's, you know, a little bit looser at the top, but as you go to the leg, I forgot what the style is called, but they wrap around closer tapered pants, and now everybody has those now. Those are in now in today's, but those are ankle socks. If you didn't have ankle socks, you pulled those regular socks down and you folded them up inside your shoe. And you went outside and you hope, you pray that nobody is staring at your shoes too long or staring at your socks too long, because you will get talked about. You're like, boy, roll them socks up. What are you doing? Give yourself a foot fungus because you want to wear ankle socks.
I say for me, one, I'll give a hair one. We were allowed to kind of do what we wanted to with our hair, which is kind of the reason I kind of let my son do that, because I'm like, you know, you were allowed to do what you want to do. So when I would get twists when school was out. So like, let's just say it was Christmas break, I would get my pump twisted into twists. I don't think my dad really liked that. And we had like rubber bands. So we looked like crisscross, basically.
Okay.
Also, speaking of crisscross, like, you know, wear my damaged overall set backwards. So that was, you know, that was one of those things. Was like, that doesn't necessarily make sense. I'm trying to think like really what stood out that my pops would really get on me about. I'm sure it was a myriad of things like that, but those are the things.
T-shirts?
Oh no, I never did. I was never that dude. And now, so that's a little after me. White dresses? Nah, like that's a t-shirt. I'm like, it's also different from having something that's a crisp t-shirt that you're wearing outside to what the white t-shirts. I always think about that Andre verse on Unk's thing was like, just shrink that shirt down too much. It looks like a skirt. Like white t-shirts was something different. I wasn't in that anyway. This is one thing my dad would get mad about. He would get mad when I would leave tape cassettes out in the car, because he would be like, someone's going to break the window to steal this tape cassette. That used to be no one ever did, but he's like, why don't you put the tape cassettes up, until he started going through my tape cassettes. But he would be so mad about, like, you're going to get the windows in the car broken. It's like, nobody's coming for these tape cassettes. Like, people are just doing, like, you don't know what what's going for on the streets. So those would kind of be more of the discussions that my dad and I would probably have debates over.
I knew a guy in New Orleans when I was in school there 20 years ago, who got his car broken into, and they took out his stereo from the car, which I don't know if that even happens anymore. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's still like a thing. They stole everything out of his car except left all his music.
Music? Yeah.
Not interested. His CDs, not interested. He was very offended.
He should have been. He should have been. But yeah, nobody's stealing, jumping in, stealing Alpines and detachables like they used to back in the day. You used to have to see people walking in the mall. That was like another status symbol, to walk in the mall with your detachable radio with you.
Detachable radio?
Oh, yeah. That was the anti-theft. So people would snatch out.
Yep. I got you now. I know.
Snatch out the whole radio. Yes. Then it became the face.
The face.
You would snatch the face off. But initially, Tony, you would snatch the whole thing out of it. It had a handle. You snatched the whole thing out.
I just remember the face. My dad would take the face off and put it like in the glove compartment or take it with him. I can't believe he used to do that. It's crazy.
Because they used to steal.
When I was a kid, you know how they'll say in olden times, you know, being overweight was a sign of wealth, or, you know, being able to afford clothing that was purple was a sign of wealth. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid in the 90s, the wider your wide leg jeans, the more power and popularity and influence.
The more power you're
yes. The wider the wider the leg, the greater the man. Yes.
Definitely. Listen, I had a pair of cross colors. This was the second generation cross colors, everybody. Not the first where the colors were very bright and radiant. This was a dark denim. And that bad boy, one pants leg had to be about this wide. And you couldn't tell me shit with these pairs. If anybody remembers this pair,
he's holding his hands like as wide as his shoulders right now.
Yeah, for anybody that's listening, thank you, Jason.
He's holding the length of a small child.
Oh, you couldn't. But listen, it's back in now. I'm like, that's the thing. Like, it's damn near. That's damn near.
Yes, style you're right, though. You're right. My kids and their friends. Yes, I see that.
Yeah. Baggy's back.
I have one sports story that I actually want to talk to you about, Ken, that is heavily intertwined with our parenting theme for this episode, and it's about Bronny James. Mm. I was reading a little bit about LeBron's upcoming free agency. When is the draft, Tone?
That's a good question. Hold on.
It's soon. Bronny, it's after the finals. I mean, it's probably end of the month, I would imagine, right? Bronny James is... From a lot of things I've read, objectively, June 26th at the draft, objectively, like probably an undrafted free agent type player, maybe a second round pick, maybe. But he gets talked about as a potential first round pick. And I was reading that there are odds on what team LeBron will play for next season because he'll be a free agent. He's talked pretty openly about wanting to play with his son, which who wouldn't? That's pretty cool, I think, for him. I'm not sure if his son has quite the same feelings about it, or maybe he will down the road or something, but obviously it's important to LeBron. And as a dad, I get that. Like that makes sense on that level. I'm not sure how much sense it makes on the kid level, but the odds on favorite for where LeBron will play next year is the Lakers, of course, that he'll just be back with the Lakers, and assuming probably he has enough influence there to get his son to the team if he wants. But after that, it's the Cavs and the Suns. And one of the reasons the Suns are on the list is because they're one of only two teams, them and the Lakers, that have even had Bronny in for a workout before the draft. Now, obviously, just from a draft prospect standpoint, he is benefiting from his dad, from his dad's name, from his dad's influence, from the fact that if you're the Atlanta Hawks and you draft Bronny James, or the Memphis Grizzlies, and you draft Bronny James, like you might get LeBron coming there as a free agent as well, and that's a big draw. But I read quotes from Bronny James saying, like, this is not exactly something that he loves. He doesn't love having his stock overinflated. And that is going to put getting drafted at a level where your talent doesn't warrant it is really a tough spot to be in. If someone was to draft him with the fifth overall pick, he is not fifth overall pick talent. And it's kind of like if you look back, this is not apples to apples, but it just came to mind. If you look back to the Bears drafting Mitch Trubisky number two overall, if they had drafted him 25th overall, maybe it's not the big disaster. Maybe there wasn't this pressure. Maybe it wasn't just this absolute fireable offense that you look at, because the pressure would have been at the right level. If Bronny James gets drafted in the second round or signed somewhere as an undrafted free agent, there will be probably the right amount of pressure, whatever that is, on him. It won't be inflated by the fact that he gets picked 17th or whatever by the Lakers. So, Ken, do you think that this is a net positive for him or a net negative for him, that he is benefiting so much from his dad's influence on the situation?
That's a good question.
It's not like we're talking about him as the next LeBron James. Like you could already say point blank, you're talking about a guy who is not necessarily even graded as a draft pick.
Right.
Up against his dad being one of the all-time greatest players ever. He will never be his dad. So right. Like take that off the table right now.
You know what? It's hard for me to just to go one way or another, and I'll tell you why. Nepotism has benefited people, right?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Is like, I mean, yeah, that part of it, I feel like that is part of our society, and there's no reason Bronny James shouldn't benefit from it.
So, like, for instance, just pairing this, if this is Kenton and I, right? I think Kenton would want to get it out the mud himself. And I know if it was me and my dad, I would want to get it out the mud myself. Being your father, I want to set you up for success as much as I can. I do want you to earn things. But if I can make sure that the direction is laid, that where you can go is going to benefit you, I do think it can be a net negative from the point of you'll never be your dad. There's always going to be more attention to you because of who your dad was. We had Michael Jordan's kids, and they didn't reach the level of being even able to get into the pros. So if you are a journeyman, people, because how people are, will look at it as a failure, even though how many people, would, if they really were being real with themselves, would love to be a journeyman within any professional sport. Oh,
of course, yeah.
Right.
Well, the only point I'm making on that front is, like, when I think back to a father and son playing together, I'm thinking of Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken right. Griffey Jr. And Ken Griffey Sr. was a pretty good player. But Ken Griffey Jr. was the next great thing.
Him. Yeah.
That was totally different.
And I for me, I'm just going to say that I wouldn't want to be on the same team with my dad. If I was I feel like this. If I was LeBron, I wouldn't want him on the same team as me. And your point of playing together, I'll say this, and how healthy LeBron is. If LeBron plays another 3 years, let's just say that third year, it doesn't look like a champion's going to work, or you could see it, please trade me to wherever he's at, and I can just spend my last months playing with him to get the experience out of the way. But I would think, one, LeBron, one, and Clutch have enough power within the NBA to set him up with whoever they need to outside of whatever the team that drafts him to make sure he can be the best successful Bronny that he could be. So he doesn't need one of the highest IQ NBA players in LeBron James necessarily. Not to say he still won't be getting information from his dad. His dad's going to tell him, look, I saw this. I didn't do this. So-and-so needs to be doing that. So you're still going to get insight from one of the smartest basketball players to ever play basketball. But to have to be on a team with him while I'm speaking of LeBron, trying to balance winning, being a dad, and I don't even think I want to be in that situation. And you see the type of stuff that keeps coming out about the Clippers with Doc Rivers and Austin and how that was detrimental to the team. Mm. I wouldn't want, if I was Bronny, I wouldn't want to be in that position. And I'm being honest. And LeBron, look, LeBron is different for me because look at what he's done with his life. But I wouldn't want that for me or my son to be in that situation where it's every conversation. And we know how a lot of these platforms go for the low-hanging fruit because a complex discussion isn't where sports really is at a lot of times anymore. You know what I'm saying? So it's always, hey, we ain't got nothing to do. Jordan versus LeBron. You like, it's just anytime things get low, they're going to pull out the Jordan versus LeBron. It's going to be something. And for me, the LeBron being one, that he's one of the greatest players, as you said, but also still as exceptional as he is as a player, that there's always still going to be the low-hanging fruit of there's not a lot to talk about. We always know we can go to LeBron. On top of that, he's a Laker. So that's something else to make it to magnify the fact that we're talking about and to get more eyes on it. I wouldn't want to put my son into that where people now, because they're always going to talk about me, are throwing him in there just because he's up in there. And again, and this isn't an apples to apples comparison at all, but it's kind of how I feel about men talking about women's basketball right now, where it's just kind of like, what the hell is going on and what the hell are you doing? And that's kind of the way that I feel as far as if I was LeBron and be like, what the hell am I going on? I'm not going to put him in this situation. So that I don't know. And I rambled if that answers your question, Jason, but that's kind of how I feel about
it. Well, it takes a ramble to answer that question, because like you said, it's not black and white. It's not a clear cut yes or no on what's good here. The older LeBron gets, the more I gravitate toward him. The more I wouldn't say I identify with him because we are living vastly different lives, but I get him more than I think I've ever got him, because we're about the same age. I think we're both 40. His quest, his motivation to still be at the top of his game against 20-year-olds when he's 40. I feel like that. I love that. I root for that. And his thing with his son, with Bronny, is really not about basketball. Bronny is going to be the end of the bench guy wherever he ends up. I think he wants that sweet experience of a season with his son, a season of being on the charter flights and being on the road and being in practice every day with his son. It's not really about basketball. It's not like his son is this missing piece the way that he wanted to have Kyrie and he wanted to have Bosh and he wanted to have Wade and he wanted to have Anthony Davis and things like that. But on the other hand, I just don't think that – I think it puts his son in a bad spot basketball-wise. Puts him in a bad situation where he – the expectations will not be commensurate with where he's picked. And it's hard to picture a team, even if they draft him high, even if they leap up and say, I'm going to draft him 17th or 20th or something to get his dad. It's hard to see them having a real plan for how to turn him into. It's really going to be more about can we use this, because LeBron has dangled the carrot out there of, I want to play with my son. Maybe they can use that to leverage and get LeBron on their team.
Isn't that like, and we just talk about a lot of parenting and a lot of parenting mistakes. Can you want something so bad that it becomes a detriment to your kid? Like, we all know LeBron's story. Didn't have a dad, didn't grow up with his dad, just his mom. And we see, at least in public, that, you know, he wants to be involved in his children's lives. But after a while, you got to let go. Like, the decision wasn't. The decision was for Bronny should have stayed in college if he actually cared about the growth of his son as a basketball player. The basketball move was to stay in college. And I thought Ryan Clark had a excellent and fair take that we're already talking about, you know, what LeBron is doing to his career at the pro level, not even realizing that no other kid would have been able to go to the combine with the numbers that he put up.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it wouldn't even been close. Like, right. So I get what Bronny was saying. And I thought Bronny handled it very well in terms of his comments and what he was saying at the combine. But if LeBron isn't your dad, you don't even go to the combine. Because all those kids, there's people around the NBA that project that say, hey, if you go pro, this is about where you're going to get drafted. Yeah. How do you do that fairly with LeBron's kid?
Yeah.
Like, you can tell them, hey, based on your talent, you're probably going to go undrafted. And guess what those kids do? Oh, this person has rescinded their name. They won't be going into the NBA draft. They're going to be going back to college, or they're going to be transferring to another school. That's what they do in order to get their, as selfish as it is from a personal standpoint. I know college coaches hate that, but hey, that's the game now. But that was the play. Go back to college.
I love him. I love him using the advantages that his dad earned for their family.
Yeah, his dad.
That family, and Bronny's part of that family, deserves it. They deserve those advantages because their dad, LeBron, has earned that. But that is putting him in a situation where he is just not ever going to be able to be at that level on paper. On paper, like, as a graded prospect, that puts him in way over his head.
Maybe LeBron doesn't care. Like, look, I think this is how I'm going to wield my power. I want to play with my son at all costs. I will play with my son. I have held up my end of the bargain in terms of how I play my body in order to be able to have this opportunity, and I'm going to do it. And I think that's the wrong mentality to have if it's not what's best. If you got to take off the dream hat for yourself and now switch over to what's best for Bronny, what's best for him and his growth as a basketball player. I can always give him advice. We play together all the time.
Right.
But for him to grow into the player that he needs to be, and if he wants to do this, right, he's telling you, if he wants to be an NBA player, he's got to figure that out on his own, obviously with your guidance. But he won't, as soon as LeBron retires, guess what? Bronny's gone.
That's all I was just thinking. Like, you're going to put him in a situation where he may be able to get some play. Now, it may not happen to the best degree, but he could find a place where he finds a role and he could be on that team. Now, that may not happen. But to your point, Lakers or any other team, they bring him there, LeBron retires. There's going to be unless he's really starting the ball and make himself a glue guy, it's going to be a couple of years and like, we don't get any benefit from your dad in this. I want to say this real quick. My dad died when I was 23, right? And he started making jokes about, like, when you gonna give me a grandchild? When you gonna give me a grandchild? And then he would say, I'm just playing, right? And I know to a degree he was playing, but to a degree he wasn't, because both of us kind of knew he may not be here for a long time, right? And but I was happy that he would be like, nah, you got to do that when you want to do it. And I'm bringing that up to the point where I probably didn't have a kid. I didn't have my son till like 7 years later, right? So I was wiser. I had been in a relationship for a long period. At that point, I had been in a relationship for like a year and a half, compared to now I've been in a relationship for like 9 years, right? So one, I know the person, because it takes a minute to know the person. But I'm saying that to allude to just into something you said, Tony, just because LeBron wants it doesn't mean it's the best thing for your child. And that's the key thing with anything. Just because you want something, you have to analyze. It's like, wait, is this
what's good or what's best? What's good versus what's best?
And I want to get back to Jason and the Griffies, because when you have a professional player that did what he did with the Reds, and we know what he did with Seattle and Ken Griffey Sr., so he was already a very good player, but your kid is the kid, referring to Ken Griffey was generational. There's a difference.
And he was a LeBron type prospect.
Exactly.
Everybody knew.
Right. And that way I would flip it to a degree, because I still would say, you know what? He may still need his own place. But when you already have been a really good major league player and your son is looked at as being generational, there may be benefit of you being like, you know what? I'm going to help you in here a little bit, compared to, and again, I'll use this kind of how we see people and how they feel about the Rivers. You know what I'm saying? When you talk about Doc and Austin or whatever. And I'll play devil's advocate with that. I don't know. To a certain degree, I think Doc bringing his son to the Clippers kind of helped Austin's career. Now, of course, we would say, of course it would, as your father. But I think he finally gave him more of a landing to where it allowed him to be a professional for eight or 9 years. But even
that's different. Because right. Austin was like a top three prospect.
Oh, dude. Yeah, he was
nice.
But we knew but in the pros at that time, we kind of knew who he was, though. He wasn't that guy that he was at Duke, right? He wasn't the guy in the Lakers training facility crossing over cats. You know what I'm saying? Like, we knew in the NBA level that he was a role player, compared to when he was knocking North Carolina out with the last second shot. It was like, yo, this kid may be something special like that. But still, to your point, it was different. But for me, I would probably prefer if my dad still helps me as he's helped me, but I may need him to do it with some distance in between.
Ken, let's do the news. Actually, this first news item is for Tony. Tone, this is from the Glizzy News Department. So, one of your favorite topics. What? For the upcoming London series, did you know Major League Baseball is playing in London, England, Tom?
I do not. Who's
all right,
playing?
This is news to you. They've been doing it for years, but you're finding out now. That's fine. The upcoming London series between the Mets and Phillies, during these two games, London Stadium will be serving 2-foot-long hot dogs. Not a foot long, 2 foot long. A hot dog that is a glizzy, Tone, that is 2 feet long. 24 inches, headed to your mouth. Also a 2 foot long nacho boat. The hot dog is called the Boomstick hot dog. And it is 2 feet of British pork smothered in chili. Ken, do you want me to repeat that line? 2 feet of British pork?
No, good.
Smothered in chili and melted cheese. And jalapenos, and honestly, this is, I'm not saying this to be funny, some kind of white sauce. I really can't tell what it is looking at. It appeared to be sour cream, possibly mayo, but that is going to be available. The 2-foot-long Boomstick hot dog is going to be available at the concession stand.
Nobody should be consuming 24 inches of anything. That's all I'm going to say to that.
Ken, do you ever fly Spirit Airlines? Do you ever take that chance with your life?
No, I've been trying to get her to do it on a return trip from a family trip, right?
Yeah,
I can't. Look, But this is the thing.
That's too far. You never go full cheap dad. That's too far down the cheap dad.
The rest of it, going in isn't cheap. This is just, and she's like, never. And I'm like, all right. The thing is this. I used to have to fly.
I know you do. We've scolded you for it. We've told you you have too much money to do that. Almost all of us do.
I used to have to fly AirTran to go visit her at college.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
Right. So exactly. That's why I'm saying that. So be honest with you. No. Just also, I think if you're a decent sized human being, and I'm not even talking about weight. I mean, just height wise, like those, when you get to those kind of airlines, it's too small. It's like, I remember the last time I was on a Greyhound bus and I was like, you know what? I'm way too tall and I'm not that tall, everybody, to be on this bus because I can't put my feet behind the person in front of me. That's kind of how I feel about being on Spirit or anything similar to Spirit.
This is a Spirit Airlines story that is not necessarily Spirit Airlines' fault. This is from ABC Channel 10 in Miami. A woman flying Spirit Airlines from New York to Fort Lauderdale found her stolen luggage. She was originally told by Spirit Airlines this was lost. It was stolen. I found it by tracking pings from an Apple Watch that was in the suitcase. So Spirit originally tells her, hey, she waits and waits and waits for her checked bag to come out, which she probably paid $70 for on Spirit Airlines. Totally negates the savings you're getting that you pay for a carry-on bag and to have a seat and to have a drink and to check a bag. I mean, it's like double what you paid for the original ticket. They tell her it's delayed. Don't worry about it. Just go to where you're going. She lives in South Florida. Go home and we'll have it delivered to your house. That's pretty standard. If you've ever had a bag delayed by the airlines, that's pretty much what happens is they will send it in a van that night or the next day to your house or your hotel if you're on the road, whatever. But what happened was an airport shop employee. So, you know, one of those basically convenience stores you go to, Hudson News or whatever, and they've got, you know, a $7 bag of Cheez-Its or Tone for you, probably a $6 bottle of root beer. An employee from one of those shops allegedly took the bag out of baggage claim, then rummaged through it for whatever was valuable in there, which was at least one Apple Watch and a laptop, and took it home. So she gets a ping while she's waiting for these bags to be delivered that she needs, and that one of them has her laptop in it. She gets a ping from an Apple Watch that's in the bag, and she's like, oh, that's interesting. Where is that? Oh, it's at somebody's house 15 minutes away from Fort Lauderdale. Well, the airline has clearly sent this to the wrong place. So she drives to the house thinking this is all a big misunderstanding. I'll get this from the person. No, this is a strategic theft. She pulls up, and there are suitcases stacked up at the front door. So this is not the only bag that this person has allegedly taken. So she sees her suitcase in this and calls the police. And the police come and they determine that this guy, Junior Bazil, is being charged with theft. And the mugshot I'm about to show you, it looks like if you told him someone could figure out that he stole their bag by using their Apple Watch, a ping from their Apple Watch, this mugshot says, you can do that? He looks shocked. So the story gets even a little crazier from there. That part is kind of like, okay, we've solved the mystery.
Social media today, Jason, just so you know.
So the ABC 10 reporter, whose name is Jeff Weinzer, goes to this house. He's doing a story on this. He's talked to the woman whose bag was allegedly stolen. He goes to the house and Junior is not home, but his mom is. And he has this perfectly normal conversation with his mom. His mom's very friendly, but denies everything, denies that there's been anything going on here. Then the reporter, Jeff Weinzer, confronts her with this information about the Apple Watch, and something snaps. She is not happy anymore. She rips off his ABC 10 ID. She demands that they turn on the cameras, which have been running the entire time, according to ABC 10. They said they have all of this on tape, the entire exchange, and then hits him and then claims that he hit her. All of this, according to ABC 10, which has investigated and thoroughly reported this story.
This is ridiculous. The mother's wailing, like just watching it. Like you said, how quickly she was triggered and tried to flip it, right? Was sad because it's one of those things, and I know this is supposed to be kind of a lighthearted segment, but it's one of those things is like when people cry wolf and you're like, you know, that's why you want to believe people. And I'm not trying to make this bigger than what it is, but that's what, when she did that, Jason, my initial thought was like, you know what? People want to believe when something like this happened and you make it less likely for someone to believe this story if someone's yeah. telling the truth and there's not cameras out there. But the kicker was later on when they caught Junior in the court. And he was just, please, sir, leave me go, leave. And it was like, bruh, you knew what you was doing. Like, to me, okay, this is just me. And this is
why ABC just kept asking him questions and he just kept saying, leave me alone.
Leave me alone. Listen, and again, I'm not saying he should incriminate himself by any means, am I saying
right.
that? Right.
Right.
But he could not say anything and just be like, I have no comment. But to me, like, don't do the crime and then, like, you can't run. And again, I'm not saying incriminate yourself, but stand on it. That's just how, if you're going to live that life, just stand. Like, I think, for instance, anybody that where you grew up with what people would deem as toughs. And for instance, I'm not a street person, but I do think there is a code, and that code people aren't following it any longer like they used to, quote unquote. But for instance, to a certain degree, like if you partake in something and then you turn around and start telling on people, and I'm not a criminal, I don't like that because it talks to the quality of your person. Because if all three of us are 10 toes down committing crimes and I get caught, I'm not going to be like, well, Jason and Tony was doing it too. Listen, just take care of my family, y'all. Just do me right. I'm going to serve the time and do what has to be done. All right. I got popped. I got to do this is what we agreed to, right? So, but and so for me, when I saw that, I was it kind of grinded my gear a tad bit when I saw that, because it's like, don't cry now. It's like, you know what you're doing when you say this stuff. I'm sorry, it's how I felt.
And finally, Ken and Tony, Taylor Momsen is the lead singer of a band called The Pretty Reckless, and her band was performing on stage in Spain last week when she was bit on the leg by a bat mid-song. The band was playing, she's singing, and a bat swoops in and attaches itself to her thigh. She didn't notice. She's, you know, got the adrenaline. She's caught up. She's singing. There's a crowd there. She didn't notice until the crowd and everybody was pointing at it and screaming. And then she looked out and there's this bat just like bit into her leg, hanging onto her leg with its teeth. And she calls for help and it gets removed and everything. And she, as a precaution now, has to go get rabies shots for 2 weeks just to make sure.
I was just thinking when you said a bat, I hope she got the shots. That concert, it would have been so over right away once that bat bit into me, knowing that there's a chance. Now, this doesn't mean they always have rabies. There's a chance that if you get bitten by a bat, they have rabies. Mic drop. Let's go. Like,
I don't want to get bit by anything.
I'm with you, but she didn't either.
She said that she couldn't get it off. It was like latched on.
That thigh meat.
That's the news. Sports Adjacent is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA. If you use that link for our listeners, you'll get an extra discount at checkout on top of whatever sale they run during June. It's a great idea for Father's Day. There's tons of stuff on there you can get. It should add the Sheets and Giggles pillow. We all love that. Sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Sports Adjacent is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app and get this offer with our promo code Adjacent1000. Your first bet with BetMGM gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500 if you don't win. That's with promo code Adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Ken Davis, it was wonderful to have you as always. You carried the show, sir.
I appreciate you gentlemen bringing me on, and I look forward to any time you guys need me to come on. I hope you and all your listeners and everybody is safe out there and enjoys this summer and this great weather. If I see you in the streets, what's up? If not, still what's up?
Tone, did you learn anything from, as a young and new parent, did you learn anything from us about parenting in this, or are you still just kind of fixated on that 24-inch British pork known as the boomstick glizzy?
Yeah, that's why. I don't know what they're doing over there. Is 24? Like, come on, son.
Split it. I mean, clearly that needs to be split up. Like, what?
Yeah.
Come on now. That's ridiculous to say.
I've never seen one that big.
Oh.
We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.